Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
CODA salutes those who served. Veterans ride free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of CODA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use CODA Plus. Veterans ride free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on CODA. Plan your ride and learn more at CODA.com/trip planner.
Hello, and welcome to episode number 115 of the LSR podcast. My name is Matt Brown, joined each and every week by the brightest minds in all of the gaming industry. And with me, I have one of those minds, and his name is Dustin Galker. You should follow him on the Twitter machine, at Dustin Galker. It is free. Just hit the button, and you'll agree with every one of his takes. I promise you on that. We're going to get you updated on what's going on with a potential IPO. We're going to see what's going on with some more partnerships. We're going to talk about what's happening in Louisiana, in North Carolina. But let's kick things off with the big states here, Dustin, as always. I mean, listen, it is New York, it is Florida, it is California. It's the states we've been talking about here on this pod for 2 years now. Where do we stand with the big three?
Yeah, there's not exactly huge news out of any of these states, but when someone sneezes in these states, I think people want to know. So we're like, there's a little bit more than sneezing happening. So we'll start with New York, where just this week there was a gaming commission held a meeting, approved sports betting rules. So we are one more step along the way toward New York having legal sports betting. These rules need to be approved. We are, as you all know, who are loyal listeners or readers of Legal Sports Report, the bids have been submitted. We talked about that last week. And we have up to several months here where the state is going to look at these bids, talk to the operators and try to figure out what they want to do, who they want to pick, and who's going to operate in the state. We also, there's a gaming conference up in upstate as well, where one of the key sponsors again promised us that we'd have legal online sports betting in New York by the Super Bowl. Obviously, they're hoping for earlier than that, but everything you look at with the process and how it's going makes you think that the Super Bowl is at least an achievable goal. So those are the things we're looking at. We're still waiting to hear. If you don't want to know which sports books you're getting in New York, you need a Ouija board. I don't know what you need, but it's going to be a while till we know that, it sounds like. But, you know, we hope and it looks like you're going to get several operators, if not a fully robust market there in New York when things are up and running, hopefully by the Super Bowl.
That is amazing when we consider where we were, you know, just a short time ago with all of this. Not only how soon maybe this could be happening, but just as you mentioned, which operators could even be going there, because there was the, you know, the longest time where we thought, oh, it's going to be, you know, maybe only a couple. Maybe it's going to be the worst thing ever and it's a monopoly. And then here we are where it looks as if the fine people of New York, and let's face it, the big winners here, not only are the consumers in New York, but it's the other sports books that get to operate there, because I mean, that being a massive, massive, huge market, they're the biggest winners in all this, even outside of the consumers there in New York.
Yeah. I mean, there's still a lot to work out here. Like, you know, sometimes it seems like we've cried wolf in the past on 50% or but it's like DraftKings, FanDuel, MGM, Bally, one of these super bids have said we can make this work at 50%, or at least they want to be in the market that badly. That you can, like we can't afford not to be in the market, so we'll give you the 50%, even though it's probably not ideal. But you know, you're going to get the same product you are everywhere else. Mm-hmm. You know, if any of these bids gets taken up, well, will you get the same amount of odds boost and promotion? I don't know, but you know, they're going to have programs that attract players. If they're in the state, they're not just going to open up shop and not try to do anything. They're going to try to get players in the door, you know, and see what happens. So yeah, it's. you know, we've cautioned, we've had a lot of caution here, but you know, it's, I think for the end consumer, you're going to get at least multiple sports books. Mm-hmm. You're not going to get bad lines. You're not going to get, it's not the end of the world as we sit here, at least, you know, there's still room for New York to mess this all up. But, you know, from what we know and what right. and what these bids look like, it looks fairly promising for what, you know, what you're going to get. Again, you're not going to get, you know, 10, you're probably not going to get, maybe you get 10. I don't know. You're not going to get dozens of sports books, but you're going to get a lot of some of the big ones, no matter what happens.
Our friend John Holden, who writes awesome, has a really, really awesome knowledge of everything that goes on behind the scenes, and not only has a great knowledge of that, but also has good opinions on how things might play out. And there's an opinion piece up over at LSR right now about what's going on over there in Florida, Dustin, because, hey, here we are with yet another kind of, let's just call it, I don't know if it's a speed bump, but it's at least another wrinkle that's going to have to be ironed out here in Florida.
Yeah, so this is what we've been saying is coming, is more lawsuits. And mm-hmm. you know, if you don't, lawsuits don't excite you. this is what's happening in Florida, and this is what could stop Florida sports betting. One of a lawsuit coming out of the state that, you know, determines, you know, either before or after that sports betting launches, that you can't conduct online sports betting in the state. So the mm-hmm. latest is two casinos, actually a casino and a poker room in Florida, already had a lawsuit in federal court. They filed another lawsuit in U.S. District Court in District of Columbia against the Department of Interior, which approved the Seminole Compact, which, of course, as we all know, is what is leading toward the possibility of online sports betting launching as soon as October. So this is, you know, another front on the legal case. We expect there are going to be more lawsuits than just this. Again, these are a couple of the gambling operators in the state who are saying this is not constitutional, either vis-a-vis the U.S. Constitution or other laws, so including the Indian Gaming Regulatory Act. So this is why we've been saying, okay, great, with the compact has been settled, and they're moving forward, and you know they are moving forward, like they're going to launch in October. But one of these laws, all it takes is one of these lawsuits, an injunction to stop it from launching. That's all it takes for us to be back, not quite to square one, but for sports betting not to launch. So, you know, if you like this, sometimes these lawsuit stories aren't exciting, but this is what is complicating things in Florida. So I would dismiss these at your own peril, rather than saying, oh, we're going to launch in October in Florida. We don't know if that's the case. There are a lot, as you and I know, you can look at the calendar. There are a lot of days between now and October 15th that could easily derail this, but you know, if none of it does, then we could be betting at an online gambling app in middle of October for the NFL season, if none of these lawsuits ends up stopping things. But this one in particular, there's 14 days to respond to it by the state. There's also a suit filed against the state and what they're doing, and because they approved the compact. So, you know, multiple fronts on this, you might see things get slowed down by any one of these lawsuits. So keep tuning into LSR, reading these lawsuit stories, and we'll tell you what we think of their chances of stopping Florida sports betting from happening. And again, read John and get smarter. He's one of the best legal writers that I know out there on the sports. Well, he's the best legal writer I know on the sports betting front.
So we talk about California because we lump them in here with the other big states, which are New York and Florida. That being said, California is not on the same plane here as New York. And well, I should say not same trajectory here as New York and Florida. But hey, look, anytime, as you mentioned, anytime anything happens whatsoever, we want to update what's going on in California. So just what is the landscape over there in California right now as we sit here on August the 19th?
So there last week there was a lot of people coming looking at this new ballot proposal, which opens up online sports betting in California. So this is a proposal for the next ballot. We already know that there is a ballot measure that will be on where allowing retail sports books to happen in California. So there was the announcement of this proposed ballot measure that would be a fairly open way for sports betting to happen in California. Now there's a lot of things to have to happen before this thing becomes reality, including almost 1 million signatures before April. Collecting signatures, but obviously we all know during the pandemic, probably pretty hard. Also, you're also going to get the tribes trying to stop this with every breath they take. They do not want this right now. They want their ballot measure. This could be mutually assured self-destruction by these two ballot measures. The tribes would rather have nothing than have this giant free-for-all where everybody and their brother can have an online sports book.
Right.
So there's a lot of breathless reporting. Oh, there might be another ballot measure. It may get legalized sports betting. Yes, that all could happen. But, you know, we're not even close as we sit here to actually having a ballot measure that would allow this. And you and I have talked on this podcast. I know the complications of getting anything done around online gambling in California. Mm-hmm. Online poker has literally well more than a decade. It's been around and bandied about.
I was about to say, we're literally talking. I mean, I can't believe it's 2021. And I mean, they're supposed to be online poker in 2009 there. It was supposed to be like, oh yeah, no, this will get done. And then, yeah, here we are in 2021 and still nothing's gotten done. So I think you and I, anytime anything is said in California, we probably look at it with a little bit more of a grain of salt than maybe even most people do.
Now this is different, to be clear, than online poker was always legislative. This is a ballot measure that would legalize it. There's, you know, that's arguably a path of least resistance, but again, the tribes will spend any amount of money I think needed. I'm putting words in their mouths. They don't say this exactly, but they will stop this ballot measure from happening. There's mm-hmm. almost no question in my mind that if they have the will to stop this, unless right now we don't know. I mean, this offers sports betting to the leagues and teams and, you know, kind of what we've seen in other states where they are the ones that kind of hold licenses, but it's not clear this is exactly what they want either. And whether they're ready to take this fight on now or wait for another day because I think they know the political limitations of what's going on in California, and this trying to do this would be, you know, again, maybe mutually assured self-destruction for both of these competing ballot measures should this one get on the ballot. So we'll see. But I don't think we're real close to California online betting. We're still looking at a longer horizon. This retail sports betting at the tribes has a chance for sure, especially if there's not a competing ballot measure. But this ballot measure is not a cause for, oh, we're going to have online sports betting in 2022, 2023. Right. There's a lot that has to happen before that's a reality.
We have talked a ton about official league data. We've talked a ton about the companies that provide this data to the various sports books around the world. And certainly we're more talking about it here in the United States. One of those companies that is a data and sports information provider is Sportradar. And we had talked about, they were looking to maybe go the route of the SPAC. You know, it was one of those, we've seen that become a very popular thing here, especially with gaming companies over the last 6 to 8 months. And it looked like maybe they were on track to get that done, Dustin. That did not happen. So it looks like they're going to go a different route.
Yeah. Sportradar filed documents this week for an initial public offering. Yeah. Again, there had been talk of a SPAC and happening with a reverse merger, basically to go public. And as we have talked, there's many of these that have existed in the gaming space that did not happen for whatever reason. I'm not sure we know that, but you're going to see Sportradar listed on the NASDAQ Global Select Market. So if you would like another way to invest in sports betting, these data companies, Genius Sports, also public now. These are the companies that hold the levers and, you know, that are a big part of the ecosystem, and not just in gambling, but just in data in general and sports, which is increasingly an important part of sports and how we consume them. So we don't have a price, don't know valuation, things like that, what they're seeking. We just know that this IPO is coming. So we'll learn more about that as time goes on. But this is a huge company that has been valued in the billions in the past. This is like right around the start of legal sports betting in the US. They're valued at $2.4 billion. What they're valued at now, God only knows. But this is a large company that is a huge part of the sports betting ecosystem right now, and actually re-upped a deal with FanDuel through 2028. I guess I'll be alive till then. I don't know, but that's a long time for getting data still in the world. But that's the kind of thing, you know, these operators are partnering with these data companies, and this powers their sports books. So these are very important companies in the ecosystem.
And, there were a couple of very big names out there that are betting on data as well. Some of the investors in Sportradar include, you might have heard of a guy like Michael Jordan. You might have heard of Mark Cuban, Ted Leonsis, like people we've talked about that have been tangentially involved with sports betting one way or another. Of course, Cuban tied to any of the rumors coming out of Texas, and Leonsis, of course, very prominent in all of this. And of course, Michael Jordan is just a sports bettor in himself, you know, I mean, and amongst other things, apparently, in his gambling past and whatnot. So, yeah, they are also investors in the company. As we look here, Maryland is a state that we have kind of kept an eye on, trying to figure out what are we looking at as far as a date where people are going to be able to get their bets down. Dustin, what's the latest coming out of Maryland?
The latest is, I think this is not a shock based on probably how little you've read or we've talked about Maryland, that they are not going to launch in time for NFL season. I think there's probably some question of whether it launches at any point during football season. This has been a slow process, to be sure, in getting things, especially next to other states that we'll talk about here in a little bit, that are moving fairly quickly. You know, and you know, whether that's the right thing or not. You know, this is new gambling in your state. Like Maryland is, you know, being a little bit cautious. They have to award a lot of licenses. There's a lot of things in Maryland that are a little different from other states. So, you know. There's at least still a possibility, but right, like obviously right now, as we sit here a few weeks away, there's no chance we're going to see a launch before the first NFL game. Your best case scenario is sometime during NFL season this fall, early winter, in Maryland.
So listen, we know that Arizona was one of the ones that we were talking about that kind of rapidly moved things through. We were pretty surprised as to how quickly all of that came to be there in Arizona. Then basically the second it came to be, partnerships started getting announced and they were just rattling off as fast as can be. What we know of so far: Bally's and the Phoenix Mercury, Barstool and Phoenix Raceway, Betfred and the Fort McDowell Nation. We know that it is the BetMGM and the Arizona Cardinals. We got Blue Bet and Colorado River Indian Tribe, Caesars and the Diamondbacks, DraftKings and the PGA Tour Waste Management, which is the TPC Scottsdale course there, that they're going to be building a physical sports book at. FanDuel, Phoenix Suns. We've got the Kindred Group and the, what is that? The Kachon Tribe. I don't know exactly how you say that. Maximbet.
I'm not going to try to butcher that.
Yeah. And White Mountain Points Bet and the Apache Nation. We got Twin Spires and the Tonto Apache Tribe, and then WinBet also has a partnership as well. So we're talking about, Dustin, I mean, listen, we've talked about all the operators that have been involved here in the U.S. We know, just rolling down that list right there, there's at least a few that maybe just people aren't even familiar with that have been able to form partnerships in Arizona. Yet here we are, and there's still a problem in Arizona.
Yeah, and this is a problem I think we kind of knew was coming. So here's the landscape. September 9th, still a date they're trying to meet. On Monday of this week, the Arizona Department of Gaming told applicants whether they were going to be licensed and qualified in Arizona. So a lot of those partnerships, those people already know whether they're going to have a green light to operate sports betting. Now the problem here is, you know, what happened, and we knew this was going to happen almost certainly, that there are 10 sports betting licenses available to tribes, and all of the gaming tribes applied for them, which is more than 10. That's 16 of them. They all applied to do it, and some of them are going to get left out. And I identified this as part of when we were talking about the legislation, what was going on. This is going to happen. You know, the tribes, for whatever reason, decided that they needed to give up some of the licenses. I don't know why, other than I know, again, this is gets into the micro situation in Arizona, where the tribes got more that they could do at their actual casinos, that they could start having table games, which is something that they valued. Right. So that's why. But I don't know why they gave up the ability for six of their tribes to not have sports betting, because that's what they did. You could have probably gotten all of it first. But as we know, there's been, you know, an equal number of, you know, tribes, and there's 10 licenses available for tribes, 10 available for sports venues and league and the teams that are in Arizona. So somebody's going to sit out, and, you know, some of these tribes are not going to make money that they should be making. So it, you know, they that to their to all of this, though, the tribes supported the legislation in the way mm-hmm. that Arizona happened because they wanted the other things other than sports betting they got out. But it was there's too many. Yeah, there's they're playing musical chairs, not enough chairs. Somebody's going to get left out. And, you know, some tribes are not going to be in sports betting, which is, you know, I think they made their bed with that when the sports betting law came out. So and they supported it. So we'll see. But it seems like we're gonna be on our way to having, you know, I'm maxing out those 20 sports books in the state. So when we
sure looks that
start
way.
On September 9th.
Yeah, and you know, a couple of names like I mentioned there, Dustin. I mean, we hadn't talked a ton about Blue Bet. We haven't talked a ton really about Kindred Group from outside of just kind of business type stuff or whatever. Even Betfred is not something that we've talked about a ton here on the pod. I mean, these are all, you know, Twin Spires obviously rebrands from their sports book. I mean, so there's going to be, I mean, depending on, like you were saying, who gets the green light from Jump, it will be interesting to see if we kind of see it play out like we did in basically all these other states where, you know, the quote unquote big boys, the big names just instantly jump out on top. Or if some of these startups here with, I don't know, maybe they'll come out with an expanded menu. Maybe they'll have the greatest signup bonus known to man. Maybe they'll, I mean, it will be interesting to see if they can get any sort of market share whatsoever in Arizona that, like you said, it's going to be super crowded when it comes to people that are operating there.
Yeah. I mean, my money is on the same people who are in the lead everywhere else, you know, being mm-hmm. the same. I mean, you also have, you know, the biggest partnerships are, you know, MGM and Cardinals, right? That's that is going to succeed. But MGM already spending crap tons of money on marketing. They'll be fine. You know, DraftKings, FanDuel clearly will be there. Caesars has to deal with the D-backs. Barstool will be there. It's in the state. It's the path to these other sports books being relevant is their will to compete. You know, we've talked in the past recent weeks about Caesars and their new will to compete with mm-hmm. to be in that upper echelon. But, you know, you just open the doors, it's going to be tough. And, you know, so, and you're not like the tribes are probably, you know, getting something out of this, but, you know, the smaller the operator, probably the less you're going to get out of that market access that you're providing them with. So, you know, we'll see. It's going to be interesting, but it's still wild to me that we know so little about how Arizona is going to happen. Who's like, but these sportsbooks apparently have been told whether they're going to be operating already or not. We just don't know which ones have been picked. You know, again, all of these, you know, if you're partnered with a team, you're safe. If you're partnered with a tribe, maybe not so safe. That's the question. Maybe you already have to have a sports betting partner. We don't know all of this intel yet. So, you know, stay tuned. But this Arizona launch is kind of the biggest thing that we're watching here ahead of the NFL season starting.
Yeah. And as you mentioned, I think the other very interesting thing is the partnerships and how big a difference which partner maybe makes for you. Because, yes, MGM there with the Cardinals. But of course, as we know, it's 8 or 9 home games a year in football. And so, yes, it's the most amount of people packed into a stadium, most amount of eyeballs in a single time to be able to reach somebody. But, you know, again, 8 or 9 home games. Then you've got basketball where there's, you know, there's you're sitting there with 40 some odd, you know, home games. And so then does that for FanDuel with the Suns, or is it DraftKings where people play golf all year round? And so basically you have people who are going to be going to a place for 4 hours at a time all year round, and you have those guys that you're reaching or whatever. So it will certainly be interesting to see which one of these partnerships maybe can give either one of these, you know, sports books kind of the leg up or something, because there's certainly bigger ones, but then there's also ones that you're just able to market and reach out to more people year round or longer, for a longer time frame. So it's super, super interesting there in Arizona for me.
Yeah. The deals with the sports teams are the ones that are, you know, you get more out of that, but you're not just getting market mm-hmm. access. You're also getting, you know, built-in marketing. You're going to be promoted by the team. You're going to have a sports book on the premises. You're going to be in their digital marketing. That's far more valuable, and you probably paid more for that market access, you can safely assume, than just doing a deal with tribes, which basically gets you a market access, maybe a retail sports book, you know, that, mm-hmm. but being on Cardinals official stuff, right? That's a big deal compared to just being a partner of a tribe. So yeah, that's why you saw the biggest operators do those partnerships, right? Because that's where it's at. You get that extra marketing juice. If you're going into a competitive state with 20 20 sportsbooks possibly, that's what you need to do.
So North Carolina is this is actually let's call it breaking news, shall we, Dustin? Some pretty decent and pretty big news coming out of North Carolina.
Yeah, you know, North Carolina kind of snuck up on us here, and you know, over the summer, and like online sports betting suddenly in the mix out of nowhere. And today we saw that the Senate actually passed a sports betting bill, pretty close vote, 26-19, moves on to the House. But you know, this is usually our legislative season is early in the year, but we have movement here in August in North Carolina, and you know, we don't know exactly what its fate is in the House. You know, this was, you know, we've seen sports betting bills this year, at least, passed by overwhelming margins. So this close margin makes me think there's some work to be done here, you know, and who knows, we don't know the micro politics in the House and what's going on there. But good news for North Carolina, you know, one step closer. And this is not a state that was even on our radar, I think, earlier this year, and is now suddenly, you know, a little closer to online sports betting happening.
It's one of the things that we've kind of preached about here as to why, you know, whenever we say we're such advocates of online and mobile sports betting, Dustin, and at least we have one of the state senators here saying prohibition doesn't work. We know the activity takes place today, whether we like it or not. We can't ignore that fact. It's just not something regulated and taxed by the state. And that's one of the things that we've preached so often here on this podcast to any of the, you know, legal people out there, lawmakers, if you're an aide, if you're whatever, you know, if you have anybody's ear, the reason we keep saying this is it's happening regardless. You might as well take a piece of the pie. Like, having it turned off doesn't do any good. It's happening anyway. So you might as well take a piece of the pie and then also gain more of that as well, because there is a healthy contingent of people who you would get if they had the luxury of signing up and betting from their couch as opposed to having to physically go down to a casino.
Right. And I always caution, no state is going to make, you know, something that's a huge amount of money for their budget, but it is,
right.
It is something, right? It's something that you don't have to cut tax. You don't have to raise taxes somewhere else or cut a project. Like, this is something.
It's free money. It's free money. I mean, it's basically what it comes down to. It's free money because, again, it's happening regardless. So you get your piece and you don't have to do anything, like you're saying. You don't have to raise taxes on people. You don't have to whatever. It's free money. So that's the reason we always kind of preach with all of this. Dustin, take us home with my home state, with Louisiana. We know that it was passed in this past legislative session, has kind of been fast tracked along the way here. We talk about a lot of these states where things have been moving at a snail's pace, trying to get things done. It looks like Louisiana is trying to do just the opposite.
Yeah. Another one where it's been slow road a little bit, I'd say, because we haven't heard a whole lot, but just today, mere hours, I think, before we got on this podcast, the emergency rules that would help implement sports betting were passed. We don't know what that means in terms of a launch, but this sets the stage for it finally, where, you know, we're kind of waiting to see what would happen. Now we have official rules that could, you know, could it be in time for the actual start of the NFL season? That seems like a stretch, but, you know, that could be something that's out there. I think more likely that we're seeing it sometime later this year, early next year, maybe well before the Super Bowl. Right now, it's pretty hard to handicap.
Right.
We don't have any details, but this is positive news. You know, this means we're probably more like in the months than years from, you know, we know some other states have taken their sweet time. Louisiana now moving forward, and, you know, with a little bit of good luck, you're going to have some NFL betting there in Louisiana online before the end of the year.
Seems like it. Talking to one of the bill's sponsors, John Stefanski, told LSR, he said, I'm more optimistic now, talking about that sports betting will launch during football season. He said, we gave the gaming control board the ability to give provisional licenses, so even if they don't have a physical sports book built, they can go live with a mobile application. It's very likely, he says. And so, you know, that tends to lead me to believe, Dustin, again, we can't, you know, I can't see the future. You can't see the future, whatever, but it seems like that's opening the door to basically all the big boys to just come in and get operating as soon as Louisiana kind of flips the switch there. So there is DFS going on now in Louisiana finally. So there that finally got going. So maybe we can get sports betting going down there as well. Guys, everything that we talk about here on this podcast, we mention this every single week. You can find the written content over at LegalSportsReport.com. I cannot tell you enough how much you should go over there and actually read all of these articles as well to get the absolute full understanding of everything that we're talking about here. Tons of hard work goes into all of this, talking to people that you don't want to have to talk to and reading things that you don't want to have to read to put this in a very easy form to digest and keep you in the know with all of this stuff. So, Adam, who is on vacation, Godspeed to him. Hopefully he is sipping a cocktail right now, and his team over there doing just an unbelievable work. If you do want to follow Adam while he's gone, it's Adam Candy. That's two E's, no Y. You should follow Dustin at Dustin Galker. It is absolutely free. Just smash that button. And if you hate yourself, you can follow me at Matt Brown M2. For Dustin, I'm Matt. Talk to you guys next week.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com. That's AbilityChiro.com.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Coda salutes those who served. Veterans ride free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of Coda's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use Coda Plus. Veterans ride free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on Coda. Plan your ride and learn more at coda.com/trip planner.